Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Today is our seventh week of our 10th commandment class. We're going to be going over the sixth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 13. You shall murder.
You shall not murder.
Oh, wait, I forgot a word.
You shall murder.
Amazing what one little three-letter word can change.
Yes.
You shall not murder. Before we get into that, let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity to once again get into your word. We pray that you would guide our conversation, help us to glean wisdom from your word this morning, Lord, as we discuss together. May you be glorified in all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll start off by reading, as we did last week, all the commandments up to this one. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 13. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or your sojourner, who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So that's the first four. We call those horizontal commandments, so I refer to them that way. They deal with
vertical.
They deal with our relationship with God, right? They're vertical commandments. Starting in 5 and the rest of the commandments, those are the horizontal commandments that deal with our relationship with one another. So the fifth, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And then you shall not murder. So some highlights or overview before we get into the questions. That phrase, as King James puts it, thou shalt not kill, causes many to question whether capital punishment or military service in which people are killed is right or wrong. And we're not going to discuss that. That's just a highlight. Get into in a minute. Murder is the thought here. New King James changes the word to murder, not kill. God, on many occasions, ordered godly men to put other men to death. You see that throughout the Old Testament. You see that specifically in 1 Samuel 15, 32-33. But never ordered anyone to murder somebody. So the Hebrew word used here also covers causing human death through carelessness or negligence. And personal vengeance is forbidden, or taking another's life out of ill will. We also know that murder was already immoral before the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai. We know that Cain sinned when he murdered Abel, right? We also know that there had to be judgments that had to be made. We see those judgments throughout the Old Testament. We see them in the New Testament, too, in Galatians, Revelations, and Matthew, and 1 John. So we're going to start breaking this down. We're going to dig in a little bit as we go through these questions. So the first question that you see in your handout, what does this prohibit? What does this not prohibit? And as always, we're going to...
What does this commandment, is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. We're going to look through, we're going to just rotate around the room, read the scripture. We'll start over here. So that's if you want to read Genesis 9:6. We'll go around the room that way. Yep. 12, Matt 15-17, et cetera, et cetera.
Just six?
Mm-hmm. Well, we start now or mm-hmm. we wait? Okay.
Whoever sheds the blood of man, but the man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image.
Whoever shed the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image.
And of course that was given to Noah and his family, which includes us.
Yeah. This was post Noah, yeah. Post the flood, I mean.
Post flood.
Yeah.
Exodus 21:12. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death.
Okay. So if you hit someone and kill him.
And you wanted to read 15-17? Did you have that?
I'll read that.
Okay. Yeah.
Whoever strikes his father or his mother should be put to death. Whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him shall be put to death. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Put to death. Okay?
So, out of death judgments pronounced. When you're following these commandments and you're executing these judgments, you're not murdering those people. Right?
So clearly the command doesn't prohibit putting to death.
Doesn't prohibit
capital punishment.
Capital punishment.
Capital punishment, that is.
Yep. Oh, the capital punishment part. Okay.
God commanded that if you do certain things, you're going to be put to death. Right? You see that throughout. Deuteronomy 19:1-6.
When the Lord your God annihilates the nations whose land he is giving you, so that you drive them out and live in their cities and houses, you are to set apart three cities for yourselves within the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You are to determine the distance and divide the land the Lord your God is granting you as an inheritance to the three regions, so that anyone who commits manslaughter can flee to these cities. Here is the law concerning the case of someone who kills a person and flees there to save his life, having killed his neighbor accidentally without previously hating him. If he goes into the forest with his neighbor and cuts timber, and his hand swings the axe and chops down a tree, but the blade flies off the handle and strikes the neighbor so that he dies, that person may flee to one of these cities and live. Otherwise, the avenger of blood, in the heat of his anger, might pursue that one who commits manslaughter and overtake him, because the distance is great, and strike him dead. Yet he did not deserve to die, since he did not previously hate his neighbor.
So that's an interesting little twist on that. So, kill someone accidentally at a city of refuge. If the avenger of blood catches you before you get into the city of refuge, he can execute capital punishment on you. He's not murderer. Right? He's not murdering you. Although you don't deserve to die, according to this passage, right?
And the person who accidentally killed somebody also did not murder because
right.
It was an accident.
Our laws are similar today mm-hmm. for unintentional
yes.
death.
Yeah, we call it manslaughter.
Yes, and versions of it, but yeah.
11-13.
Okay, 11-13. But if a man hates his neighbor and lies in wait for him, assaults and kills him, and then flees to one of these cities, the elders of his town shall send for him, bring him back from the city, and hand him over to the avenger of blood to die. Show him no pity. You must purge from Israel the guilt of shedding innocent blood, so it may go well with you.
So you can't use these cities of refuge as an escape for killing someone. You can't just go there and think you're safe if you actually murdered somebody.
Well, premeditated. You're sitting waiting.
You hated
for
someone, and you right.
The intent.
That's what I mean by you actually murdered somebody.
Right. So it's truly the intent involved.
So they weren't a get out of jail free card. God said, purge the evil from among you.
Right.
Matthew 5:21-22.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill, shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother, whatever a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell. Hellfire.
Keep it straight, hellfire.
Interesting. God, Jesus is putting our internal thoughts, mm-hmm. right, and our attitudes,
right.
and our actions toward one another on the same level as murder,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, face judgment, but the judgment, as in the case with murder, is quite severe, right? So, it's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just interesting.
Well, we're going to circle back a little bit on that.
There should be a Q&A session here. Question section.
Yeah, we'll have time for some of that. 1 John 3:15.
Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Hates his brother.
Oh.
So, again, talking about an emotion here, not a physical act, right?
That's the difference between murder and manslaughter.
To put hate in the version of an emotion, huh?
Okay. Well,
I think of it more of a choice, as a choice.
It is a choice, but in the sense of, from what this verse is saying, he didn't say if you hurt your brother or strike your brother. He says, "If you hate your brother, so it isn't. It's an emotion. It's how you feel towards somebody.
Okay, I'll
right?
you. Yeah,
that's what makes it murder, as opposed to
when you carry out that feeling that act into an action, that makes it murder.
It will become murder. Yeah.
That's why Cain was considered sin because he had ill intentions
mm-hmm.
to begin with. It was his emotional state that was the,
right.
the what converted it from an accident or manslaughter into murder.
Right. So." That's what we've seen in these other passages, is that if you hate and lie in wait, it's murder as opposed to being an accident, right? But John is going a step further. You haven't killed him, but you've just hated your brother. He said you've already murdered him.
and I think it's more than even an emotion. It's just like love. It's not an emotion. You may have emotions that go with love, but it's a choice. You choose to love your enemies. And you choose to pray for those who persecute you. You know, you may not feel love necessarily towards them, especially if they're persecuting you. But you choose to do so, and by the same token, you choose to not hate, but
sure.
to love your brother.
Sure.
You're saying it's the action mixed with the emotion.
It's the choice. Emotions can come and go, but choices
True.
Are of the will.
Ultimately, it is a choice of your will.
You're talking about an actionable choice.
And how
right.
that
the choice you took.
How that choice is
Eventually
causing
you
to act toward.
Choice, yeah.
That choice then causes you to act this
right
way toward
right.
toward your brothers and sisters. And,
because God told Cain, if you do well, it will go well with you. You know. Sin is crouching at the door, but you must master it, you know. So in other words, God is telling Cain,
We
need to choose to master it.
We're going
to
get a little bit more into it later as far as that and what John says. I just wanted to just kind of have it out there to say, hey, you know, something to put a pin in, right? So let's look at the first murder in Bible history and its cause. Justin, you want to read Genesis 4, 1 through 12?
I'm wondering what that's with J and was on. Genesis. You said what?
Genesis 4, 1 through 12.
There we go. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall flee. You said 4, 12, right?
1 through 12.
1 through 12. Let's start it. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten man with the help of the Lord.
And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regarded for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth."
Okay. So, there we see how the choice of hatred.
Well, he was angry.
Started with anger, turned to hatred, caused Cain to kill Abel, right? And what was it called? Sin.
Murder.
Murder. Yeah.
But of course, God exhorted him to master it. You know, and in other words, choose to do well.
Right.
You know, and then his countenance would be lifted up. In other words, the emotion.
Well, he had no right to be jealous. Was the bottom. The first part is that he had no right to be jealous. God said, "If you've done what was right,
right,
you had no right to be jealous or angry about this." First
right.
of all, second of all, because of that anger, now sin is crouching at your door, coming to you, and he couldn't contain it. He couldn't control it. That's what happens to people every day. You know,
right.
you make the better choice, but it still starts with he messed up to begin with. So he didn't take responsibility for his mess up. So you know what I mean? Like it still comes back and keeps steps back again because he
yep.
should have just taken responsibility for his own actions.
So ultimately, it comes down to what I was saying: choice.
This is what people do every day. They don't take responsibility for themselves. What did you do wrong in that situation or that relationship or whatever? But you don't know. I'm mad at you because of what you did, not thinking about what I did.
Whoa.
But people do that every single day. We have,
yeah,
you know.
I've heard anger described, human anger described as, well, like James says, the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. So I'm thinking of human anger here. Typically, it's based on a right that we think we have that has been violated.
Justice.
But in this case, he was just jealous.
But he thought he had a right for God to regard his offering.
Right. Yes.
And he didn't have
right.
that right because
right.
he had sinned
yeah.
already. And so he believed he had a right, therefore he was angry
right.
with his brother.
Right.
And of course eventually took it out, made the choice to not master it.
Right.
And let it master him.
But
and
also he was angry at God. And why are you angry with your brother? Your brother didn't do anything wrong. God is the one who didn't accept your offering. I mean, this whole...
But it's
mean,
hard to kill God, so therefore
yeah,
he killed his brother instead.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
Wrangle that chain.
Was there actually a murder prior to Cain's murder? To Cain murdering Abel? Was there a murder prior to that?
That's a strange
question.
If so,
who?
I already know he's thinking something.
Genesis 2:17 in? Genesis 2:17.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, you're up.
Okay. Oh, is that the next question?
Mm-hmm.
Page two, I guess. Yeah. Sorry. Genesis 2:17. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die.
In John 8:44.
You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin?
Jesus said that we are of our father, the devil.
Right here.
Who was what? A murderer from the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking.
And it was this devil that tempted Adam and Eve to eat from the tree that God said, when you eat of it, you will surely die.
So the devil's a liar and a murderer.
Yes.
And the source of that, of course, was hatred, I guess. You know.
So.
Or jealousy
since
again.
Since hatred is equated to murder, choosing to hate, which Satan did, of course.
Strange.
Strange.
Interesting thought, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't expect you to go there, but okay.
Food for thought. What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, God didn't kill them. He killed them spiritually.
I think that
they died spiritually.
Consistently throughout the Bible, death is a punishment for sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's God's chosen punishment for sin. So God picked the punishment for sin. He could have picked a different punishment, but that's the punishment he chose for sin. That and a couple other things in the Garden of Eden. But that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thing. And the devil knew about it in advance. He knew that, you know, you're going to die. And God told him, don't eat that tree.
That's right.
So that was the chosen punishment. So death is divine. Understand, it is holy. The act of dying or of... So it is the solution to justice.
It's a consequence.
It is the appropriate response to sin.
But it's a consequence of
sin. It is a holy, holy act when executed by somebody who does it properly. And it is offensive, we use the word murder, if it's done by somebody who's not affecting justice. It is now corrupted.
Or intentionally.
It's malicious.
It has to be intentional because accidental is not.
Right, but people are put to death all the time intentionally, and it's justice. So the point is...
But it's from hatred, based on hatred.
I'm talking about when people...
The bad thing.
No, God requires that people kill other people to effect justice, and that is holy. It is appropriate in the right circumstances because it's done for the right reason. And so death, effectively, is appropriate and right, and if I use the, shame on me for using this word, good, because God said so. But when used by a person for the wrong reasons, now it is corrupted and foolish and inappropriate.
I think I know what you're saying, but I would say that death is a consequence, a stated consequence prior to happening of our sin, of our of us just being disobedient, right? It's a consequence. This is what happened. We were disobedient. We did not obey what God said. And because of that, we were going to die. We instantly died spiritually right there when they had that separation from God. But this is a consequence of our chosen rebellion against God. Death. We're all going to die. Now, what you're saying is being put to death.
Well, it's a different vein, but yeah, go ahead.
Being put to death is different. If you do it in a malicious way that is not sanctioned by the state, to put it that way, then it's murder, right? But if the state is doing it, if the authorities are doing it in response to an act that you've committed, then it's not murder.
So throughout Scripture, people die two different ways. They either die because God overtly killed them, or they die because they sinned, because they're human. Those are the two ways people die. So when God does it, it is holy, and when people die, as a result of proper justice that God has delineated to humanity.
But I would argue
that's proper as well.
I would argue that all of death is because we've sinned.
Yes.
Whether we're put to death because of God's judgment.
That's the consequence of
our sin. Yeah, or whether or not somebody murders us. Or,
so you don't believe in old age?
All death, even old age dying of natural causes, quote unquote, is still because of our sin.
Well, yeah. Well, it's because
Satan said, "You surely shall not die."
So
that was part of his deception that led to death, you know?
Death stems from our rebellion against God. He said, if you eat from this tree, you will surely die. And they ate it. They rebelled. And we are of that vein. We rebel against God. We are sinners. And because of that, we also suffer the same punishment.
So the old age thing, good question. But I think that's related to the other things that God cursed humans with when they first sinned. And the ground is fire. The whole planet got corrupted. And we died from old age because of that.
You're going down this kind of
path. I know, I'm trying not to. But anyway.
You started it. I mean, there's so many other things we can talk about.
We could. I just wanted to.
Such a simple verse.
You know.
let's pull out of it.
Have that idea out there, right? That murder is, that initially, it wasn't just a physical act. But Satan is the murderer from the beginning.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But this is a horizontal commandment. This is one talking about how we hurt each other.
So then what,
for the most part,
what provisions did God make for manslaughter? Sanji. Oh,
I really have to read all of that. Okay. Huh? 9-28.
Really? Mm-hmm. Do we have to read the whole thing? It's 10 o'clock already.
Okay. Just answer the question.
Yes, he made provision for manslaughter.
The city.
The city of refugees.
Well done.
Sanctuary cities, we call them now.
I think it would be good. I mean, I think it would be good for us to eventually read it. Maybe not.
You guys have the scripture references. Obviously, you should go back and read them. So then how was that negligence that led to a person's death punished?
Banishment.
He had to leave his land, his whatever.
Quick, because it was justice for him to die.
I can read those ones.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When an ox goes to a man or woman, when an ox gores a man or woman to death, the ox must be stoned, and its meat may not be eaten, but the ox's owner is innocent. However, it was the ox was in the habit of goring, and its owner has been warned, yet does not restrain it. It kills a man or a woman, the ox must be stoned, and its owner must also be put to death.
So the first one, if they gore, an ox gore someone, kills them. Owner didn't know about it, right? Happens.
First time offense.
They pay what?
They lose the ox. Which is a big deal.
Big deal, I think that was your livelihood, right? But if you knew about it, and you still let your ox roam free and gore someone, then at that point, it's treated as a deliberate act.
Negligence. So we have a responsibility. If we know of something that might cause harm, we should try to...
Like a dog?
Right.
Or no, property. Let's talk about things that you own. They're your responsibility, yeah.
We have a responsibility to make sure we're not causing harm to other people through ourselves. Even to things of the animals we own or whatever. Exodus 21:22-24. How did God recognize life in the womb as worthy of legal protection?
We should just jump to this section. Oh, man.
If man who is fighting hits a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there's no serious injury, the offender must be fined when the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there's a serious injury, you are to take the life for a life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot, burn for a burn, wound for a wound, bruise for a bruise.
I did it again, a double look question.
This one.
So, if you hit a pregnant woman, kill the babies, still treat it as killer, murder, right?
Yeah.
Any other comments?
That's why abortion is first degree murder, even though the law allows it.
So jump to question 8.
Mm-hmm. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt be not, by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the other farthing.
What are the root causes of murder? We've been talking about this pretty much the whole class, right?
Hatred.
Anger?
Hatred.
Hatred?
Jealousy.
So, okay. We've probably talked a lot about that already. How about number 9? Killing in a war. And what time is it?
That's not murder, unless it's, well, that's not murder technically.
Well, you covered a lot of topics in this. This is like a, wow, well done, Moses. This is great.
So, 1 Samuel 15, 1-3.
And Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.
Yeah, I want to be careful about saying that means that all war is good and God says that all killing in war is okay. Right? There's a particular instruction here from the Lord to Samuel, to Saul to go and destroy these people, right? It's not necessarily how we understand war in our day-to-day, right? And the Lord didn't speak to America in 1941 to go and fight against Germany for the next 4 years, right? I'm not saying that was wrong, but I'm just saying like that was a different, unique situation than what is happening here in 1 Samuel 15, where God is speaking to Saul as his king and saying, go and execute my justice upon these people, is different than how we view war.
Yes.
Here now.
But I would also say that as a soldier, if you are put in a position that you're in war and have to shoot somebody, you're not murdering them.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying.
I think that was my whole point. Yeah.
I'm just saying this. Yeah. I just want to be careful saying like all war is just, and therefore all killing in war is okay.
Right.
Because 1 Samuel 15 says God said to Saul to go kill
That was not the intent.
So clearly, when Amalek did not allow Israel to pass through the land,
right,
that was wrong of them,
right,
and God judged them for it.
Right. That's right. That's what that's
But when David killed Goliath, for example, he was honoring God in so doing.
Yes.
You said something earlier, Paul. You said the way we understand war or something like that. We don't.
Yeah, yeah. No, the way we go about war here now.
We don't comprehend.
But that's why God made when David sent the guy to the front line, knowing he was going to get killed.
Yes.
That was murder.
There's unjust.
God said that wasn't my plan.
Exactly.
To, you know,
that's
how
right.
That was supposed
exactly.
to be done. So I mean, God doesn't see all things that happen in war
as
just.
As, yeah, and therefore
correct.
Right. So that means
so that was you're yeah. right, and that was never the intent of what I was just
yes.
getting to a point that, especially from a soldier's point of view, if you're killing because you're at war, you're not murdering
right.
because
you're defending,
you're fighting for your country.
Right.
And
regardless of
what
politicians are
right.
doing up in their
right.
tower.
Yeah. So that was, as long as you're doing it within that context of war and not doing something.
Very nuanced.
Right.
Yeah, because there
yeah.
are things that happen in war
yeah.
even that are considered murder.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
I mean, they,
right.
you know, that soldiers have been.
That's right.
Have been,
right. Correct.
You know.
Yeah.
So
now I'm not going to chase that rabbit.
Right, but I mean
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's another rabbit we need to use really
hard. You shed a lot of blood, and you see this, and we don't have to like even get into all those, but you'll see if you read 1 Chronicles 22 later, when David was trying to build the temple, God said, no, you shed too much blood in the war.
Yeah.
You're going to have your son Solomon do it.
Yeah.
Right.
But to the point of David, you know, murdering Uriah the Hittite, It was David who murdered Uriah, not
yeah,
the soldier,
not the
soldier who actually killed
him. That's right. That's what I'm saying. God,
the intent
yeah.
of David was to have him killed.
Right.
God sees all our intent.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? He sees our
but,
intent.
And again, in Matthew, you'll see if you read later, Jesus says that those who fight by the sword will perish by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Live by the sword will perish by the sword. So, it's nuanced, and we're not wanting to can get into all that, but
that's complicated.
Yeah, just saying that as a soldier in a
right.
normal act, you're not murdering.
But the guys who flew the airplanes and the buildings, all that was.
Anyway, this is where I said we'll circle back around. We already kind of already talked about this. The sin that Apostle John equates with murder. We don't have to reread that passage, but does anybody have any other questions or comments on that?
Yeah, I think what Jesus and what John is doing is taking the command that people could use as an excuse to hate but not kill, and saying no, even your internal affections towards someone are equated with murder. Right? That's why I think Satan is called a murderer, is because he hated God and Adam and Eve and did so from the very beginning.
Yep.
I think we all, maybe even this morning, experienced some sort of anger and or hatred towards somebody, I think that is, so I think that's important to recognize. It's internal. It's not just what, like how we choose to act, but like what it is internal, what's going on in our hearts.
That's what comes out of the man that defiles the man, as Jesus taught.
Right? Yes.
What comes out of our hearts.
Right. Yeah.
So, going along that, and reading Genesis 16 to 18 of 1 John chapter 3.
Where are you?
1 John 3.
Yeah.
What question are we on?
I'm sorry, number 11.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay.
I have that. I can read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish.
No, that's John 3.
First John
3.
Oh, 1 John
3.
16
to 18.
By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world his goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word and talk but in deed and in truth.
So how does this include apathy toward a troubled brother or sister?
Verse 17, that closes his heart against him. Hmm. Right, then therefore love, that is not love, and therefore it's hatred, and therefore it's murder. That's what John is getting.
It's this kind of absence of action is being defined as a heart issue.
Yeah.
So that's the other way around. So it's not the action somebody took, it's the lack of action they took. And because of that lack of action, then the writer of John is equating that to an emotional or a heart issue.
Yeah. And not just even the lack of action, right?
Specifically when they have the ability.
When they have the ability and choose to close their heart when their heart for them is instead of loving them.
So not even active hatred, per se, like, have an active hatred against
someone. Well, he's saying
it equates to a lack of hatred. That's what I'm saying. So
you are the same.
It's the same thing. But so I'm saying is like from a perspective, not even like I don't hate this person. I just don't want to do anything for them because I'm just not because maybe I don't like
whatever
or hate
reason,
them. I just don't have time or I have a million excuses, right? Yeah. So John is equating that to the same thing. So
that's what it says. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so awful, right? Because it's in such contradiction to what Jesus has done for us. Let's look, verse 16 sets it up, that Jesus laid down his life for us, right? Jesus did not have to do that, right? He did not have to lay down his life on the cross for us, but he chose to. And so if we are going to claim his name and follow in him, to close our hearts when we have the ability to help, is like I think that's what helps us see why that kind of apathy is so awful in light of what Jesus has accomplished for us. John sets it up by first directing us to what Jesus has done, and mm-hmm. So I think there's some help there to meditate on the gospel when we feel that apathy, to look and remember. This is the love that Jesus has had for us. It's the only way we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us. And so the meditating on that can help warm our heart when we feel that.
Both have the same result.
Yeah.
The person wasn't helped.
So then how do we see that Jesus fulfilled this command? Matthew 5:39 is the verse that tells us where Jesus is saying, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the other also, right? Don't resist the one who is evil. What else do we see? Look at verses 43 to 48.
Matthew 5? Mm-hmm. I think we're... But I say to you, 43, you have heard it said... It was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he will cause his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Matt?
So, obviously, not hating our enemies, but loving them.
26, 52 to 56.
Wait a second.
Over Matthew. Matt, read Matthew. Yeah, so... Point there, Andy.
Okay. So let's see, 52.
While we were enemies, Christ died for us.
That's right.
So he showed us that example.
Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place. For all who will take up the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scripture be fulfilled that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "You have come out against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me. Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled.
That's good.
He could have called 12 legions of angels.
Could have called 12 legions, but he freely submitted, right, to the Father's will.
He turned the other cheek, so to speak. He followed exactly what he said.
And in that great passage in Philippians.
Yep. He humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even the death to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. So Jesus perfectly fulfilled this command, even the intent of the command in the heart issue, right? Loving as opposed to hating, freely laying down his life, turning the other cheek. So that the wrath and the judgment of God could be fulfilled. Any other questions? Comments? So, summarize, leave vengeance to God and his civil authorities. Murder in the name of religion or morality is still wrong, still murder. We should beware lest we murder through not loving our brothers and sisters. Because John seems to picture that you either love or hate your brothers and sisters. So, there's no gray area. So we should not murder, physically or in the heart.